Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. From the slums of Bangkok, I'm reading from the jacket now, to the Australian outback, to the middle of the Timor Sea, Snakehead is Alex Rider's most action-packed adventure yet. Alex Rider is a protagonist in a series of novels written by my next guest, Anthony Horowitz. Since 2001, with the first novel, Stormbreaker, millions of copies of the Alex Rider series have been sold. Snakehead is the seventh adventure and is already a bestseller. Rider isn't like James Bond. He doesn't kill. Rather, he outwits the bad guys with cool gadgets and his smarts. Anthony Horowitz is one of the busiest writers in Great Britain. Besides the Alex Rider series, he writes the Diamond Brothers series and is the creator of the popular television series Foyle's War. Stormbreaker was made into a film last year, and Mr. Horowitz wrote its screenplay. Snakehead is published by Philomel Books, an imprint of Penguin, and retails for $21.50. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Anthony Horowitz. Good morning, Mr. Horowitz.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, I haven't read the book, and I'll say that off the bat, because I don't read fiction. But I find it interesting that when we have authors on, and you know, people still listen and people still buy their books. So, but it must be gratifying for you because you've sold millions of copies of your books, the Alex Rider series, that young people have embraced them so.
Yes, I mean, it certainly is gratifying. I mean, ever since I can remember, all I've ever wanted to do is to tell stories, and the fact is that a story, in my mind, lives the more people who read it. You know, I think when you sit down and you start, you're just striking a little match, and what I was always after was the forest fire, and I certainly got that now. And, you know, on this tour that I've just been on, 14 cities in America and now in Vancouver, it's certainly enormously rewarding to see the enthusiasm and the excitement of all the young people who've turned up to my events and who have clearly invested a great deal in the books.
Well, when did you first start writing?
When did I first start writing? When I was 8 years old. I mean, that was the age when I knew for certain that I would be a writer when I grew up, and it was all I ever wanted to do. I wrote a play when I was about nine. It was about Guy Fawkes, who was a famous Elizabethan hero or villain. Depending on your point of view, he tried to blow up the House of Parliament, and that was my first, you know, fully-fledged piece of writing, and I was writing more or less every day, all through my teens. You know, by the time I was 17 and 18, I was writing full novels, and was published for the first time when I was 22, so it's sort of been a one-track life in some respects.
And do you write every day?
Yes, there are days occasionally when I write very little, or perhaps even not at all. You know, it'd be lying to say otherwise, but by and large, I will write every single day. Even on this tour, I have been working on, you know, the next novel, and you know, that means on planes and waiting in airports, hotel rooms, any chance I get. You know, I've been sneaking away and getting back to my book.
And are you working on another Alex Rider book?
Well, I will be eventually. At the moment, not. I have a second series of books, called the Gatekeeper series, which have been described as Stephen King for kids, that are more supernatural, occult, and there are about five kids, the gatekeepers from all around the world, who are fighting ancient forces of evil. And so far I've done three in that set: Raven's Gate, Evil Star, and Night Rise. The fourth book is called Necropolis, City of the Dead, and I'm about three chapters into that at the moment.
And you write obviously on a computer, you don't write on longhand?
No, I write longhand, on the contrary. Everything I write, I tend to write not only longhand, but I use a fountain pen, a very
really
old-fashioned instrument, but it's what writers used to use. And there are so many great writers that I admire: Charles Dickens, George Gissing, George Orwell, Thomas Hardy, Jane Austen, writers like that. I like to think of the blood that flowed through their veins being ink and flowing through mine, not that I compare myself to them, but using the same tool as them somehow connects me.
And you do the same for the television series, I assume.
In what sense? Use a pen?
Use a pen, yeah.
Yes, I do. When I'm running TV, I tend to almost be taking dictation, taking shorthand notes. The characters, whether it's Foyle or Barnaby and Midsummer Murders, talk, and I sort of have to race to catch up with them. And I'm not a fast enough typist to be able to do it. So in a sense, if it doesn't sound too pretentious, I'm almost sort of like taking dictation for my own characters.
The inspiration for Alex Rider came from where?
Partly from the Bond movies, from Sean Connery in particular. I grew up with those films when I was in my very early teens, and they obviously had a huge impact on me because at the time they were, you know, the biggest movie event of the year was the Bond movie. And the inspiration came from the sense of the feeling the Bond was getting too old when Roger Moore played him, and that the films had lost their sort of buzz. And the idea of writing a teenage spy sort of came very early. I sat with that idea, or carried it with me for at least 10 years before I wrote Stormbreaker, the first in the Alex Rider series.
Had you read the James Bond books?
Oh, definitely. As a kid, I read them vociferously. And I still have, you know, I've read them 4 or 5 times in my life. I think the Ian Fleming books are really quite close to being masterpieces. Some of them in particular, Dr. No, Goldfinger, From Russia with Love. These are very, very fine novels. Yes, they're sort of pulpy and they're in the spy fiction genre. They're not what you would call classic literature. But there is no denying the very distinctive voice Ian Fleming had, his, you know, extraordinary descriptive powers and his, you know, the quality of his narration.
And how does it, I've never read the books, I've only seen the movies. How do the books translate into the film? Do we see everything that we're supposedly had read?
Well, as the films continue, they get further and further away from the books until really there's no connection at all. So if you look at the early Bond films, Dr. No, Thunderball, From Russia with Love, and Goldfinger for that matter, in other words, the Sean Connery movies, they're actually fairly close to the book. I mean, even the later ones, Diamonds Are Forever, which is the last Sean Connery outing, officially anyway, that one has actually moved quite a long way away from its source material. So a plot which is essentially about just diamond smuggling in the books becomes Blofeld trying to take over the world by having a diamond-encrusted satellite in outer space in the movie, and that's quite a leap. The Roger Moore films got increasingly further away from them and became sort of more and more silly in a way, till you arrive at movies like Moonraker, which are really just rip-offs of Star Wars, with James Bond in outer space having laser fights. And you've really lost track of your source material. Things like the gadgets also, the gadgets and the gags, the one-line jokes, you know, normally of a slightly sexual nature, they grew out of control in the movies as they went on. They're not in the books at all.
You had to do the screenplay for Stormbreaker. Was that an easy task for you because you'd written the book, or did you find it harder?
It wasn't a task I particularly relished. Indeed, when they first bought the books, I suggested they get another writer in to do it because I thought to myself that I would be reluctant to sort of damage or, you know, to cut up my own work, and that another writer might bring in a sort of fresh insight. But they were very, very keen to have me, and so in the end I agreed, although quite reluctantly. It wasn't difficult, no. I mean, once I was on board and working, it's a process, you know, making a $40 million movie. It's just a huge industry, and there are so many people involved, so many notes, so many different perspectives, so many demands, that you just sort of go along with it. Now, I have been a professional screenwriter for 25 years or more, so it was, in the end, you know, to a certain extent, it was just another job, and I didn't have any sort of precious feelings that anything had to stay because, you know, I, Anthony Horowitz, the author of the book, wanted it that way. You know, this was another guy, this is a screenwriter, whose job was to adapt.
Well, when you saw the film, is it how you envisioned it while you were writing the books?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I have ups and downs with the movie. I've never hated it. I've never even disliked it. Sometimes I'm a little disappointed by it, and at other times I think it was pretty good and did the job. You know, one of the biggest problems that I had with it was the insistence on the producers that this is a movie that sort of 6- and 7-year-olds might go and see, and that even though their 14- and 15-year-old brothers and sisters were in the same audience, one had to cater to the youngest, and therefore the violence had to be very toned down, and generally the tone had to be sort of slightly more cartoony, which I really didn't want, and that, I suppose, was my biggest disappointment with the movie. But as I say, the main thing that I'm pleased about is that the fans of the books never told me, anyway, that they were hugely disappointed. It was never an embarrassment. A really bad movie could have done terrible damage to the whole future of the books.
And will they continue the series?
It's unlikely. The movie had no release at all in America or Canada. This was for reasons that are beyond my understanding, and it's to do with business and to do with distributors and presumably to do with money. But the fact that it sort of therefore made zero money on this side of the Atlantic would, I have thought, would spell the end of any future filmmaking. That said, I have written the screenplay for Point Blank, the second in the Alex Rider series, and it is with the same producers who made the first movie, and they are hard workers, and they love the project and would like to continue. But as I sit here now, I would say have a chance of a slip.
Well, when you started Stormbreaker, Did you envision the entire series, or was that just one book that you were planning to write?
When I wrote Stormbreaker, which is sort of an interesting time in my career, when I was always thinking of giving up children's books because, you know, I really wasn't selling enough copies of what I was doing, and my TV and film writing was doing much better. When I wrote the first one, I was immediately aware that this was something new, that I had discovered something, and that the book would be successful. I knew that this was going to be a sort of a breakthrough book, and I knew almost as soon as I'd finished the first one that I would write a second one. I had no idea, however, that I would still be writing it 8 or 9 years later and would be now contemplating book number 8.
Now, the title of the seventh one is called Snakehead. Snakehead refers to what?
Well, it's not a word I invented. A snakehead exists. The snakeheads are the names of gangs that operate out of Asia and Thailand and Indonesia, places like that. They are very intricate criminal organizations, rather similar to the triads, dealing in all sorts of different areas of crime, the largest of which is people smuggling, which is one of the sort of biggest growing crimes on the planet, smuggling refugees from one country to another. They also do, they sell body parts, they sell guns, they sell drugs. When you buy an illegal DVD, you are putting money often into the pockets of a snakehead. And after having written Archangel, which is one of the more fantastical Alex Rider novels, putting him in outer space, I was very keen to tackle something that was really quite gritty and realistic. All the Alex Rider books, although the obviously notion of a 14-year-old spy is fantastical, nonetheless find their inspiration in real events, in the news, in current events. And so I'm always on the lookout for sort of, you know, issues that will connect them to the real world. And people smuggling, which is a really terrible crime and takes advantage of people who are, you know, poor and desperate, was certainly an area I wanted to tackle.
We read a lot about people smuggling, about triads and gangs and those sorts of things, living on this coast because we share, obviously, an ocean. Do you find that people around the world, I mean, I guess criminal behavior affects everyone around the world, but is this particularly interesting to people in your part of the world, in Europe and Great Britain?
Well, you know, these things are cyclical. I mean, you know, what interests people, it depends on where the media spotlight is. But certainly my interest in the snakeheads began with an event in England where 20 or more Chinese workers were killed in a particularly unfortunate accident in a place called Morecambe. And they were being employed by snakehead gangs in Britain to pick cockles, of all things. These are little fishes in shells that you can get off the coast of Britain. And these poor workers, who were, you know, earning nothing, were out on the sands of Morecambe, which are notorious and treacherous, and were caught by the incoming tide, and a great many of them drowned. And this put snakeheads very much into the public consciousness. That was where I first heard the word used, and knew at that moment that was the title of the next book.
Did you do any research for this book?
I do a huge amount of research for all my books. In fact, you know, 10 days from now, when I finish this tour of America and Canada, I'm on a plane for Hong Kong, simply to spend time there to research the book I'm writing at the moment. For the Alex books, I visit every location, every gun, every car, every piece of machinery is carefully researched. For this book, I went on an oil rig for the climactic fight at the end of it. I also went on a container ship. I traveled around Bangkok, went to a kickboxing fight. I was in Australia for those sequences. I do really as much as I possibly can.
How long do you expect the series to continue?
I think there are probably two more books in it, maybe three. I've always said I'll stop when Alex is 15. He's 14 and 10 months now.
You obviously meet a lot of readers on this tour. Their feedback from the readers, does that weigh on you in terms of when you write the next books?
Yes, it's very important. I think that meeting young people, sharing their enthusiasm, finding out what they like, is an important part. I don't do this tour just to sort of talk about myself. I'm actually much more interested in a way than in listening to people. And I bounce ideas off kids, and, you know, the eighth Alex Rider book is sort of more or less formed in my head, and I've been talking to a lot of kids about it and asking them what they think and if it'll work for them. And, you know, I can just tell from their response. Obviously, they want to be polite to me and generally want to be positive, but I can tell if they're really enthusiastic or not, and it does matter.
And do you take their ideas?
Yes, definitely. There's no point asking if I'm not going to listen to what they say. You know, and I'm very fortunate. I have two sons. They're a little old now, 19 and 16, but they advise me and help me and criticize and pointed. I get kids to read the books. If you look at the acknowledgements page at the back of Snakehead, there are the names of five kids who read the books and gave me notes. You know, it is important. I think I should say that, you know, at the end of the day, I do what I want to do. I'm not that, you know, I'm not writing, like, you know, a computer program that people can adapt to their own needs. At the end of the day, I write what I believe is correct and what I want to write. But that's, but at the same time, it is important to bounce ideas and, you know, if only to boost my own confidence.
Did you ever meet Harold Wilson?
No.
And your father,
That story has been slightly exaggerated. My father was a solicitor, a lawyer, who was involved in the sort of the outer circle of that government, but the very outer circle. You know, it's been blown up into sort of, you know, sneaky visits to number 10 Downing Street, which is nonsense. There were just one or two figures that came to our house who might have been in the news from time to time as being, you know, advisors and such. But, you know, it's actually the same as the Labour government now. There are a great many people on the sort of perimeter of the Labour government in Great Britain, many of them up to no good in their business dealings. And you know, a lot of money swilling around and a lot of dirty money swilling around. It does seem to go with that type of government, but this is on the fringes, nowhere near the centre.
You know, I was reading your biography, and it's a rather interesting, I should say, humorous look at your life. Have you ever written about your life?
It's curious that last year a publisher made an offer for my autobiography, not so much of my later life, but they were very interested in my doing sort of a memoir of my childhood. But I turned them down because, you know, I'm not in the business. First of all, you know, although I'm very happy to talk to journalists about my you know, life and background, because it sort of does colour the books and does sort of have a connection with the books, I'm not actually that interested in myself, and I certainly have no interest in sort of forcing the sort of details of my slightly unhappy part down my reader's throats. You know, I'm in the business of writing to entertain, to you know, I like adventures, I like excitement, I like chases, and certainly sort of whittling on about sort of, you know, an unsuccessful childhood and school days in North London back in the sort of 50s and 60s is very far from what I want to be doing.
Is there any part of you that's an Alex Rider?
No. When I was a kid, I used to like the Bond movies. I used to dream about being a spy, you know, as a sort of a daydream, as a fantasy. But I was an unsuccessful, unhappy, and rather chubby little kid. And Alex is nothing like I was, and nothing like I am.
And your children, you said they're 19 and 16 years old. Do they read the books?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my 19-year-old now is a little bit too old and a bit too busy, you know, he's got his own life. My 16-year-old is still my absolutely closest confidant. He's a brilliant critic and a pretty good writer himself.
How important is it to read as a writer? Do you read a lot?
Well, I'm sort of I'm a touch dismayed to hear that you never read fiction, which is how you began this interview, because reading fiction is a huge part of my life, although I respect utterly people who read, you know, biography, history, or whatever it is they prefer. But I cannot imagine my life without stories. And, you know, I'm sitting here in my hotel room. There's a Little Dorrit by Charles Dickens is by my bed, and I'm immersed in that. You know, fiction is the colour in a black and white life. And if I don't have my daily shot, as it were, I don't sleep well. You know, I don't feel fulfilled.
Well, I guess I love reading nonfiction. I love reading biographies and political books and so on. And so I find that I just don't have time for fiction. I should make time, shouldn't I?
Well, I think there's always more time in a day than people expect. You know, the one thing that our ex-Prime Minister, she's still alive, Margaret Thatcher, said, I mean, she's not a popular person in Britain, but she said one thing that I'll never forget, and I think is a very valuable piece of advice: never underestimate what you can do in an hour, she once said. And I think that's certainly true, but there are sort of... You make me sound as if I'm preaching to you, Hayes, get off his phone and start reading fiction. I'm not saying that at all. Each to his own, and everyone is different, But I do find that you know, I sneak a little in whenever I can.
She only made do with 4 hours of sleep a night too, didn't she?
Well, I only have about five myself, so I suppose I'd have to have longer days than most.
It's been fun talking to you, Anthony, and I promise that I will read this book.
that wasn't my intention, but you know, I've spent a lot of my life promoting reading and promoting fiction, and I guess you caught me on the hop, and that's what I've been doing now.
You know, no. This is an interesting story about the part of the world that you set this book in, and I find that interesting in a contemporary context. And so I promise you that I will read this book.
Okay, maybe you'll be surprised, and one day you'll let me know.
I will read the entire series, but perhaps.
Thank you.
Perhaps. Anthony Horowitz is the author of Snakehead. it's the seventh in the Alex Rider series, 2150 from Philomel Books. AnthonyHorowitz.com is his website. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.